You would please remain standing for the reading of today's gospel. It comes from Matthew's gospel, and each of the gospels have a slightly different take on the story. It's always the same ending, but there is Matthew's version of what happened today at the tomb.
The story of the risen Christ as written in Matthew. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And you know, as a Christian, Easter should be considered the most important day of the year, because today we celebrate the incredible gift that Jesus Christ has given us through that cross. That cross where he took all the sins of the world, all the evils and injustices and sufferings of the world upon himself, and he defeated them all. The cross on which he was crucified, where he died, and then was buried, only to rise up out of the grave alive again. And now that cross stands for victory, for hope, and for new life. Hallelujah. And so let's talk a minute about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What exactly does that mean for us? Well, two things. The first is pretty straightforward. Resurrection assures us of eternal salvation, eternal life. Christ's rising means that we too, his followers, will rise to a life after death, to a place that we cannot even imagine, but a place that Jesus himself describes as paradise. He said it's like a great banquet, a great celebration. It's a place where there's no crying, no pain, no sorrow. Yes, we are now assured that our final home is paradise. And the second thing about resurrection is that it gives us hope for the here and now. Now, this takes a little explaining, but it is so critical for today's living. You know, in this morning's gospel reading, we heard the angel say, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen, just as he said, and is on his way to to Galilee. Now, in truth, this story about a dead man returning to life and walking around should shake and startle us to our core. But apparently, most people aren't affected like that anymore. Most people just can't relate to this story that's 2,000 years old from another time and another place. Why? Well, I think we all know. Because in today's culture, religion is too often put down, and believers are mocked, and so we tend to question our faith. Today, we look to the rich and the powerful and to celebrities for all of our answers and help. Today, we put more trust in science and technology than we do in God. And so it's easy to dismiss the mystery and the awe of the resurrection story and the strength and the power that God, through Jesus Christ, can bring us. Yes, for many, the resurrection story has simply turned into an outdated, back-in-the-day tale. But before you accept this reasoning, let me try to put the story into some perspective for you. Now, for example, how many of you remember payphones? Yeah, you know, those telephone booths that you might see at an airport or shopping mall or the corner of a busy street. I mean, that was just 20 or so years ago, not 2000, and now they're all gone, right? A distant memory. So I guess that's telling us that people no longer want to communicate via phone anymore, huh? Or how many of you remember Blockbuster? Or any of those other neighborhood video stores? They're all gone now, too. So I guess that's telling us that people aren't watching movies at home anymore, huh? See where I'm going here? You see, just because the world has changed doesn't mean that our underlying need for God's power and presence in our life has changed. And I'll tell you why. Because think back for a moment when you felt afraid or were hurting or suffering. A low point, a tough time in your life. A time when no amount of friends or acquaintances or inspirational quotes on social media or any number of self-help books or Google searches were sufficient enough to help you make it through. But where could you turn? Well, this is where you turn to the resurrection story. You know, the fact is that tough times are a reality in this life. The home is still a major trouble spot where relationships between spouses and children are often strained. Cancer and other diseases strike randomly. Many people are working dead-end jobs or have no jobs. Drugs, opioids have become like the plague. We're held captive by a culture that measures us by superficial standards like our looks and clothing or how much money we have, rather than the kind of people we are and how we're living our lives. And so as you go through the tasks of daily living with all its issues and complexities and hardships, don't you really want to count on a living God? A mighty hope, a second chance, a third chance to be there for you? Because if you can't count on that, this is what happens. In today's scripture, the two Marys went to the tomb where 3 days earlier they had laid the body of their beloved friend Jesus. They arrive and suddenly there's an earthquake. And then an angel appears and rolls away the stone in front of the tomb, but it's empty. The angel explains to them that Jesus isn't in the tomb. Not because someone has stolen his body, but because he has been raised from the dead, just as he said he would. And the guards who were supposed to be protecting the tomb became so frightened at what was happening that they shook and became like dead men. Like dead men. That's an interesting way to describe someone. But that's what fear and uncertainty does to you, don't you think? You become like a dead man, a dead woman. Oh, you're still living, but not really. Going through the motions, but feeling numb. Like when any of those things I just mentioned happen. You learn your child is addicted. Bills keep piling up because you want more. You hear the word terminal. The relationship ends. A spouse dies. The truth is, life can and will deliver us those fearful experiences. But nobody should have to live like they're dead, not while they're still alive. And so what's the answer? Again, we turn to the resurrection story. Because when we think of all the things we have to face in this life, don't we need a Christ who overcame all the forces of darkness and who can now help us overcome our sorrows and pain and fears? You see, the resurrection is God's promise, God's assurance that nothing is too hopeless, too desperate, too lost, that God cannot overcome it. And that, my friends, is called grace. Grace. God's power and help given freely and unconditionally to you and to me. God's grace can be a mighty force in your life if you have faith, just believe and trust in Him. And then, in turn, you can be an agent of God's grace to those around you so that the resurrection becomes relevant to others who need to hear this wonderful story. Let's go back to the scripture again. The angel tells the woman, "Go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus is going to Galilee." How cool is that? Jesus? Yeah, I just saw him headed to Galilee. And you better get there fast because wonderful things are going to happen. Now, do you ever wonder why Jesus went to Galilee? And not back to Jerusalem, or to Rome, or even to Washington, D.C., to wherever the rich and powerful may be who want to tell us what's best for us and how to think and act. Well, that's because Jesus knows who's really important. And so he goes to Galilee. Because who lives in Galilee? Well, nobody, except his followers, those he taught, those he healed, those he forgave, those he loved, those he showered his grace upon. And he goes to share with them his victory, to prove that there is nothing so terrible, so desperate, so painful that he cannot overcome it. And today, he comes to Falmouth, to his followers here in this sanctuary, to tell us the very same thing. As Bishop Will Willimon says, the implications of Easter are this. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, time and time again, we look up and realize that we are not walking by ourselves. When we come to some dead end in life, when we look over the brink into the dark abyss, we will find to our surprise and delight that he is there, awaiting us, a light in the darkness of this world. Yes, a light that offers his love and grace and hope and an assurance for the future. Because one of the last things he ever said to his disciples was a promise meant for both them and for us. I will be with you always, to the end of the age. So can you see why today Easter is the most important day in the life of a Christian? And why I shout hallelujah? And so won't you join me again? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.